Chapter 17. Invisible, No More. When Kim jumped through the dining room window, he headed across the lawn through the asparagus garden. He pounded on the door of his neighbor, Mr. Hiles. A friend of Kemp's peered through the door. "The invisible man is here. He's after me," said Kim. "Let me in." "I'm sorry," said Hiles. "I can't allow you to come in here. I must protect my family." At that very moment, invisible footprints were retracing Kemp's steps and trampling over what was left of the asparagus patch. Kemp shook the French doors but realized that it was no use. Hiles wouldn't help him. Kemp ran out the front gate and took off down the hill. As he ran, he saw shimmering shards of glass in the road. He ran over the glass knowing that the invisible man would follow his path. He knew what would become of his feet when he did. As he entered Port Burdock, Kemp heard footsteps behind him. Scores of people ahead of him were standing outside the Jolly Cricketer's Inn. "The invisible man is behind me," he screamed as he ran. Children and women shrieked and scattered. Men picked up their clubs and charged forth. "Spread out," screamed Kemp. "Form a line." But he didn't finish his words. A fist knocked into his face and sent him flailing to the ground. Another hand wrapped around his throat and squeezed until Kemp managed to push up. Now the invisible man was on the ground, pinned beneath Kemp. "I have his elbows. His legs are here. They're secured," cried a man with a shovel. Many men rushed forth and held the invisible man down. There was some savage kicking and cries of "Mercy, mercy!" from the invisible man, but no one would give any. The cries and kicking finally stopped. "Stand back," said Kemp. "He's hurt." Kemp knelt down and reached his hand out. "His mouth is wet. He's injured." At this point, all locked doors opened, and a huge crowd surrounded Dr. Kemp and the invisible man. Kemp passed his hands over the body. "He's not breathing. I can't feel his heart." "His side," a woman screamed. "Look!" The woman had pointed to an outline of a hand. It was faint at first, but grew stronger by the second. At first, it was as if the hand was made of a transparent glass. The outline of veins, arteries, and bones could be seen, and then they became clouded, then fully visible again. Another man shouted, "His feet are showing!" And so, slowly, the strange change continued. It was like the slow spread of poison. First came the little white nerves, a hazy sketch of a limb, glassy bones, then flesh. Faint at first, but solid within a minute. His shoulders and crushed chest were next, followed by the rest of the body. When at last the crowd made way for Kemp to stand, there lay Griffin, naked, on the ground. All saw the bruised and broken body of a 30-year-old man. His hair and beard were white, and his eyes were like garnets. Kemp took his jacket off and placed it over his body. "Cover the face, too," said a man. Someone from the Jolly Cricketers brought a sheet and covered his face. Then Kemp, an old friend from University College, gently lifted Griffin up and carried him into the inn.